You are on Radio Tacoma's Climate 360.
And I'm your host, John Doherty. We're here to take a 360-degree look at climate here and around the world in 360 seconds or less. Let's get right to it. There's a guy called Mario Pelto. He's been climbing around Washington's glaciers for 40 years. He reports that in the last 20 years, our glaciers have lost 30% of their ice. Our glaciers are going extinct one after the other. Lofty Mount Rainier has already lost three of its 29 glaciers, with more to follow, and glaciers that are hanging on get smaller every year. So, should we care about glaciers melting away? Well, the salmon certainly do. They rely on summer melt to keep our river levels up and cold enough for them to survive as they spawn. And there are already cases where streams are too warm and too shallow for the salmon. And we love our clean and inexpensive hydropower, but that's challenged by melting glaciers too. Think of those glaciers as reservoirs of water that keep our streams full during our low rain summer season. Here's a fun fact. While we commonly speak of the ice masses in Antarctica and Greenland as being the 900-pound gorillas of ice, the actuality is that the much smaller systems around the world, almost all of whom are melting, add more water to the sea every year than does a combination of all the melting ice in Greenland and Antarctica. Why do those who call climate change a hoax have their shorts in a knot, constantly going on with one theory, then another, with their fever dreams about what's actually happening to our climate? Pretty much none of what they say is fact-based. It's cherry-picking, a data point here and there, their favorite tactic, and when they run out of that, they mount personal attacks on people who are doing actual research. We're running a global pollution experiment with our fossil fuel burning, and that experiment is going to have a finding that reveals for all time, for everyone, the facts of climate change. Sadly, the evidence at this point is that the hoaxers are winning the day because simple human inertia and distaste for change is keeping us from adequately addressing human-caused climate change. Wild-ass theories that fly in the face of chemistry and physics are doomed to fail, but my fear is that when the climate hoaxers' theories are shown by the world events to be horribly wrong by our global experiment, it's going to be too late to do anything meaningful about it. The horse will be long gone from the barn, and the rats will be looking at each other in dazed confusion.
Tweet for today.
Washington State Professor Steve Austin posting that the city of Pullman has plans to remove blocks worth of downtown trees to make way for things like sidewalk cafes. How to explain such short-sighted arrogance, knowing that trees serve so many purposes, especially in urban environments? Best I can come up with is that business interests think they can make more money with sidewalk cafes than they can with trees. Not an isolated concern. The Puyallup School District just cut down a 100-year-old chestnut tree because of what they call minor incidents affecting students with nut allergies. Hello, is anybody there? I'm keeping my eye on the betting odds regarding the 2024 presidential election. Time has shown that metric to be a better predictor than just about anything else. Right now, those odds are showing Biden at 35%, Trump at 28%. Why do I care? Because I think having someone who believes that climate change is a Chinese hoax is a bad idea. In the bettor's eyes, everyone else is a non-player, including the twin doofuses of Ramaswamy and Kennedy. So, not to worry about them.
What are we reading?
I'm reading How to Blow Up a Pipeline by Andreas Malm. He's an academic, and his book is carefully thought out. He points out that since folks everywhere are continuing to do business as usual, especially governments and the fossil fuel industry, but also including consumers who are more concerned about their daily lives than the future of climate, that our peaceful protests, our letter writing, our shouting at the TV set aren't having much effect, and it's time to up the ante. To be sure, he is very careful around the ethics of what he suggests, and he makes a compelling case for getting more assertive. And he also shows that past movements such as Gandhi's weren't quite as peaceful as popular history would claim. I will never be involved in blowing anything up or anything even close to that. At the same time, I see his point that continuing our climate activism in a business-as-usual way is more than likely going to result in fossil fuel pollution continuing its business-as-usual way, too.
Mythbuster time.
Here's a myth widely circulated by climate hoaxers. Depending on the region, most electric power stations burn coal and gas, so even though electric cars are not directly burning gasoline, These myth purveyors maintain that the electric car energy comes from a fossil fuel generation, and thus they might as well be burning gasoline. Here's why this myth is false. 80% of the energy in gasoline is lost in the form of heat. That's why gasoline cars have such an extensive cooling system. Contrarily, electric vehicles only lose about 20% of their energy to friction and related. So even if the electricity that a car is using is sourced from 100% fossil fuels, that car is many times more efficient fossil fuel burning-wise than a gasoline car. And in places such as here in Tacoma with our hydropower, electric vehicle operation is completely fossil fuel pollution-free.
Quote for today.
Behavioral economist Dr. Dan Ariely says that if we were to create a problem that humans were particularly ill-suited to solve, it would be climate change. And that's your Climate 360.